Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
It's been leading up to this, and now is the time.
Robin Washit of Husker Online. Robin
will make you swing. I'm just going to say, enough with the rock, boys. Somebody could just punch Littlefinger in the face.
Might actually have to tweet at you so we can
cyber high-five each other. No one can
save the day. Robin Washit of Husker Online.
Pretty jacked.
Bring him in, Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com. Robin, I'm still coming down from the high that was the NBA Finals game last night. That was wild, dude. That was wild.
That was awesome. Like, it was, like, to the point where you could, like, say some parts were just downright sloppy, but it was sloppy in an awesome way where, like,
right.
Drastic changes of emotion based off, like, one or two bonehead mistakes or decisions made that thing basically like a tennis match.
You look, like, I'm trying to look at, like, the final couple of minutes, we had a moving screen. We had a backcourt violation.
Yeah.
We have multiple goaltendings. Like, you know, it was like, we had a shot clock violation at one point. Like, it was atrocious, but gorgeous at times too.
Yeah. And then the potential game winner that hits the back of the backcourt. From,
right. Just crazy.
Not even like on the baseline. Yeah. So they got a little bit of everything for you.
It certainly did. Hey, I mean, what is the draft next week? Is it 9 days? Yeah, wow. I mean, that's anything new on the Roby front? I've also seen Glenn get a few workouts. I mean, I think that's more of something that he's not going to get drafted, but and same with Palmer, they might make a summer league team or whatever. But anything new on the Roby front in terms of where he might get slotted next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of right in that early second round. Kind of at the high end of that is what you're potentially looking at. But I know that I think CBS just came out with their most recent mock draft, and they have him going 35th overall. So I think that the first pick, or no, I'm sorry, 31st overall, the number one pick in the second round
of
the Brooklyn Nets right now. So, I mean, you know, he's still kind of in that range of, you know, a borderline late first round pick, but I think that's probably maybe a little bit too high. I think early second is kind of maybe your realistic ceiling for him, but that's still a very good spot to be, because the difference between a late first rounder and early second rounder, not all that drastic. And so I think that would be a very good spot to be in. And you're at the point where, you're probably looking at maybe getting yourself in a better fit than maybe you would be if you were to go earlier.
Take me back to it. I don't know if you ever really got into this. Take me back to when you first watched him play. Did you think we'd ever be talking about this? Like him getting drafted, maybe?
No. I remember the first time I actually like watched him extensively in person, and it was at one of the Nike EYBL events up in Minneapolis. And he had just moved from, he was playing with Quad City Elite. That was his kind of primary AAU team. The Quad City team.
Mm-hmm.
And then he flipped to play on the EYBL circuit for like a weekend with Indy Spies, which is kind of the top team in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was playing against, you know, some guys that are already committed to high major schools. And this was going into his senior year, maybe. I think that was right. And, you know, he was by far the biggest, most athletic player on the court. But you wouldn't notice him, you know, because he would get the ball and he would pass it immediately. He wouldn't dribble. He would get a rebound and immediately get it out to a guard. Really was his own worst enemy because he was so timid. And I remember that was the first thing that I saw. I was like, this, you know, he just goes back to the story of his whole career. If he were to ever, you know, get some assertiveness and some self-confidence, know that, hey, you were probably the best overall athlete on the floor right now. Go play like it. Who knows where his potential would be. And so, I mean, that was what my initial impression was, that this kid had all the tools to be an impact player, but would he ever, you know, flip that switch and realize his potential? And, obviously, you know, 3 years at Nebraska later, people were still wanting that to happen, but I think we finally started to see him turn that corner when Isaac Copeland got hurt, and he was thrust into that role where he didn't really have the option.
No choice.
There was so much pressure being put on Glenn Watson and James Palmer that it was Isaiah Roby had to play well for Nebraska to win. And for the most part, he answered that call. I mean, that game against Butler in the first round of the NIT, he was unstoppable. And so you kind of started to see the type of player he could be when he plays up to that potential. And so hopefully that continues and he's able to carry that on over to the next level. And, all that talk about does Isaiah Roby know how good he is finally becomes a question of yes, he does know,
right,
and he's playing like it.
Player most likely to get drafted on the roster right now, the next guy to get drafted. Obviously, the crop of the million different newcomers that the Fred Hoiberg picked up. Is there someone that jumps out at you?
Yeah. It's hard to say with the two seniors, Cheatham and Kavas, because, obviously Kavas kind of fits that three-point specialist mold that could make him an intriguing prospect, but I think that he's got too many holes elsewhere in his game for me to vote him. So honestly, I would probably say one of those two JUCO guards, whether it be Cam Mack or Gervais Green. I think those are the two guys that have right now the brightest NBA ceiling. You got these coaches just kind of gushing praise after praise about how good these two players can be. And, it kind of leads you to believe that if a guy that was an NBA GM and an NBA head coach is saying that, there's probably some credence to it. So I would probably say that those two guys, and if I had to pick one of them, I know Tim Miles thought that Gervais Green was going to be a pro.
Yeah.
And he was the number one stop when Fred Hoiberg took over this job. Basically less than 24 hours after that press conference, he was on a plane to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska to do an in-home to secure that commitment. So it's a very, very close tie, I think, between Gervais and Cam Mack, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably say Gervais.
Robin Washington's my guest, HuskerOnline.com. Okay, let's switch gears to talk a little football. The Wandale Robinson thing, it is. It's hard. Weed's a polarizing topic. I think the stigma around it is dissipating a little bit, but nevertheless, it's illegal in this state, and it's it's not a smart thing to do if you're Wandale Robinson. I guess you see the citation for possession of weed with Wandale. What's your take?
Yeah, it's just kind of makes you pull your hair out if you're Scott Frost. That less than a week after one of his teammates just got busted for doing the exact same thing, he's putting himself in a position where, it doesn't even matter what your take on the legality of marijuana. The fact is that it's against the rules, not only against the law, it's against campus policy, and you're doing it on campus in your dorm, and then it's against team policy and against NCAA policy.
Right.
Go down the list. Don't do it, or at
right.
least be a heck of a lot smarter with how you're doing it. I don't know. I think that's the most frustrating part about all this, is that these guys are just kind of showing really no worries for consequences with something that obviously will get them in trouble. And so you got to wonder what the next step is for Scott Frost. Does he kind of take a harder policy on that stuff to where you're no longer just kind of brushing this aside and handling it in-house, or turning it over to leadership council, that maybe you put a firm penalty, like a one or two strike policy, where if this happens, there will be consequences, and we will take away what is most important to you, and that's playing time. And I think that might be the only next step to finally get through to these kids, that you can't do this. And I know that there's a huge debate just in the country about marijuana and whether it should or shouldn't be legal, but right now it's against the rules. And until that changes,
right,
you need to follow the rules. Otherwise, there will be consequences that you will have to pay.
Right. Yeah, it'll be... It's just so hard to even speculate on what the punishment will be. I've said that it could be just a brutal day with Zach Duvall. It could be one game, could be a one half. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, I think the more instances of these happen, I think the consequences will become a little bit more severe. If it was just kind of a outlier situation where one guy got caught one time, then I'm sure they'd handle it internally, and the kid would have a very bad day or a bad weekend with Zach Duvall. But now that it's you're having multiple headlines within the span of a week of guys getting busted with marijuana. I mean, that at some point you got to put your foot down as a coaching staff and say, guys, this has to stop. Otherwise, you know, this is becoming a legitimate problem that we're going to have to address. And
right.
So, you know, I think right now I agree with you. They're still on the point where I would be surprised if there was any actual suspension. And if there were a suspension, that would be anything significant, like more than a quarter or a half.
I would be too.
But again, if this continues to happen and more guys start making these bonehead mistakes, you know, I think that you have to really draw a line in the sand and say, you know, if this happens again, you guys are going to have to face the music a little bit.
Get you on this, Robin. I was talking about this last week, and I don't know this to be 100%, you know, everyone's doing this because I haven't looked at every single publication or preview magazine, but boy, it does really look like Nebraska is the trendy pick to win the West. Like the vast majority of preview magazines and publications peg Nebraska to win the West. Is that, like, I'm not saying, I think everyone can say, yeah, I could see, there's a big difference between, yeah, I could see them winning the West and making them the, like, the odds on favorite to win the West. You know what I mean? Does it surprise you that everyone has Nebraska circled?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting a lot of love, and you've seen this before with, you know, other schools. Like, I know a lot of times, you know, Notre Dame or Texas or whatever is like the trendy pick, that this is going to be a year that this blue blood program returns to prominence. And more often than not, it doesn't happen. So, I mean, that's why you kind of got to take all this stuff with a grain of salt. And a lot of it is just based on potential. I mean, they're just assuming Nebraska's offense is going to be better in year two under Scott Frost. They're assuming that Adrian Martinez is going to take another big step into his sophomore year. And while those are, could maybe argue, relatively safe assumptions, they're also just assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And they could very well not live up to what people are expecting them to be. And so, I mean, yeah, again, it's off-season hype, and, you know, a lot of people just put Nebraska in conversations like that to get clicks, because Nebraska fans will click it.
True.
And so you always got to keep that in mind. But I do think that there's reasons so many people are high on Nebraska. And again, they see how last year ended. They see what's coming back. And the fact that Scott Frost and Adrian Martinez are the faces of the program, that gives them more than enough reason to kind of buy in to what's going on in Lincoln right now.
No doubt about it. Robin Washington, HuskerOnline.com. Great stuff as always, Robin. We'll catch up next Tuesday, brother.
Sounds good, man. See you later.
You got it. Robin Washington, Husker Online. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I think you're sitting down to do the Big Ten West preview. You go, oh, man, Washington or Martinez is a baller. Okay, Frost, year two. I mean, it, you know, conjures up a lot of different thoughts in your mind. And then you go, well, let's look at the schedule. Oh, man, they get Wisconsin home. They get Iowa home. They get Nebraska. Sometimes it can be that fast for some people. And you know what? Sometimes you don't know, you don't want to outthink yourself. You don't want to get into like, well, what was their third down defense on the road in the fourth quarter? We must look at, like, you don't necessarily need to get that in depth with it. Sometimes it is about quarterback head coach schedule. And Nebraska got a really good quarterback, really good head coach, really favorable schedule. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of assuming going on, and I've told you, I could absolutely see Nebraska winning the West. Do I think they should be on paper the favorite to win the West? Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. There's a lot to like about them. There's also a lot of question marks around them, too. All right, so from now until next 45 minutes or so, it's a lot of me, it's a lot of you. Until we get to the crossover. You can email the Equitable Bank Zone Inbox, nick@1620thezone.com. You can hit me on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, @NickBaugh, 402-951-1620. You want to talk Wandale Robinson. You want to talk NBA Finals. You want to talk about Golden State. You want to talk about Durant. You want to talk about Secret Life of Pets 2. I'm down for it all, people. 112 on a Tuesday.